Well, Chris, today's panel discussion featured four CIOs during this breakfast program hosted by our friends at Government Executive Magazine. Each of the CIOs had a different view of their job and the expectations of the people and agencies they support. I think Joe Klimovich, CIO and Director of High Performance Computing and Communications. How about that as a title? Director of High Performance Computing and Communications.
And he loves it. He's so cool talking about that stuff.
He sure is. He's with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he summed it up this way.
Well, look, my job is to basically work the magic to deliver against those expectations. And if you tell somebody that you're going to deliver something a year from now, they kind of look at you like, what's wrong with you? They want it delivered next week, and certainly our experience in supporting the Gulf crisis has been, you got to deliver the solution the next day.
Now, Susan Swart is Chief Information Officer with the State Department. She says one way in which the CIO job has changed since Clarence Cohen is in its complexity.
We've always been there to provide technology to our agencies that deliver against the mission. But the definition of what that means has changed. It's shifted from basically providing basic infrastructure services, just connectivity, particularly for us at State, where we're at 280 locations overseas. I can remember 20 years ago, if we had a dial tone at our post overseas, good job, you guys are doing a good job. Now people would just say, that's just expected. And that expectation has gone, from the desktops to the telephones to the radios to the network to what device they're holding in their hand. And that expectation is they have everything that's at their desktop, they can do mobily. So I think the complexity is what's changed. We're still there to deliver those services, to help the organization use the information it has. And for us, that's really what we do. We don't produce anything except for some of the consular visas, passports. So our role is to how can we use the department's information to make better business decisions and then further our diplomatic and development goals.
Now, one of the other CIOs who was there today, Chris, Dave Wennergren. I love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know him as well. He
yep.
works for the Pentagon. He's the deputy CIO. This fellow just has an incredible attitude about how to do the CIO job. And more than anything else, I think one of his big appreciations from this morning's program is when it comes to how it's changed, something that he calls the democratization of technology, all because of Web 2.0.
Yep.
Because he says part of, the good thing about that is that you have people who come on staff at the Pentagon who are now more comfortable than ever with Web 2.0 and all of the social collaboration tools and things like that. The downside, of course, as Dave Klimovich put in his soundbite we just played, is that it raises that expectation. People, in some cases, have better technology at home than they have on the job. And,
yeah.
And as recently as 10 years ago, it was the other way around. People came into the office in order to take advantage of better technology. So there's that expectation now. There's that built-up expectation in how they want things to run. And increasingly, the tools of Web 2.0 are driving that expectation about how people, you open up a browser and Facebook works. You open up a browser and Twitter works.
And a lot of government agencies, they block Facebook and Twitter.
Well,
so.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
But one of the conflicts that often has come out of this job is you have to keep the BlackBerries running and you have to make sure the email's running and all those kinds of things.
Sure.
And yet the vision in Clinger Cohen was that CIOs would be the strategic leaders. How does the agency look and use technology to really accomplish its mission better, faster, and less expensive?
Sure.
And oftentimes you're so caught up in making sure the BlackBerries run that it pulls away from your strategic time. Did they talk about that at all?
Oh, yeah, they certainly did. Well, for example, Dave Wennergren said that one of the things that gets said about him an awful lot is that one of the previous secretaries of defense said, "We were really lucky to have you on board because you helped the secretary with his BlackBerry." You know, and that's almost like damning with faint praise. Obviously, obviously, it's important to have the secretary have his or her BlackBerry operate when they need to. But then some of the other CIOs who were at the panel today, we had Mr. Spires, I think Richard Spires from the Department of Homeland Security,
right?
And he said that one of his challenges is to be able to put out the fires like, you know, the secretary's BlackBerry, but then at the same time look at the enterprise-wide challenges of doing strategic thinking about the cloud, about how to deal with cybersecurity, all of that. And you have to do everything, because if you don't take care of things, if you don't take care of little things, they become very big things.
Karen Evans, the former federal CIO, she was administrator of OMB's Office of E-Government and Information Technology. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yes, did it off the top of my head. but she always said, you have to make sure the BlackBerry's run, because or else you can't get that seat at the table.
Right.
And if that stuff isn't working, then everything else, they don't trust your strategic views, because you can't even make the BlackBerries work. So mm-hmm. she says the two are it's hand in glove.
Sure. And also another one of the CIOs, I'm looking at my notes here to try to get the right name, but they basically made the point that it's very easy to fall into the trap of using the constant contact that you have with BlackBerries and cell phones and things like that to micromanage your operation. If you're a CIO, that's the worst thing you could possibly do, because then you're not preparing your people to help you manage the operation and to take some learn how to take initiative and to learn how to troubleshoot on their own. So you have to sort of be able to step back sometimes and say, well, Mr. Secretary, I'm not going to take care of your BlackBerry, but here is my able assistant over here who will be happy to help you out.
It's no doubt about it. In 14 years, it is a very tough job. And unfortunately for me, the conversation that's still going on are, do CIOs have a seat at the table?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and in this administration, that question at least seems to be passé.
Sure.
You know, you have to use technology to get your jobs done.
Right. Real quick, Chris, one of the things that the CIOs discussed today was all the guidance from OMB that came out earlier
sure.
this week.
Yeah.
Along the lines
specifically on IT, most of it on IT.
IT and project management.
Yep.
Because all of this guidance has served whether they want to or not. In some cases, you've got CIOs who are eager to have a seat at the table. Now that every CIO has to have a seat at the table, because this is the agency's IT budget that's on the line here, and the priorities and how you set those priorities, and whether the IT projects that your agency is engaged in are meeting the OMB guidelines.
Yeah,
so in one sense, it's helped push the visibility of the CIOs in ways that maybe some of them want and maybe some of them don't want.
Yeah, my impression from talking with CIOs, most would like that visibility. They want that seat, because mm-hmm. you can't get your job done in the end unless there's that conversation among the C-suite, the C-level folks. If they're not on the same page, then nothing's going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.